You turn in your Bibles to Joshua 6. Father, thank you for your amazing presence today, your glorious love. Oh, what a beautiful love this morning. Father, thank you for the glory, the wisdom that's coming from the table now, sending wisdom out front to prepare us for the day of the crown that is at hand, coming to an at-hand position in the earth. We are with the crown every step of the way, for it is in us, it is with us, and it will soon be manifested among us. We give you all the glory. Amen. So I want to speak to you today about developing a habitation of his house of wisdom. Especially I'll be focusing on wisdom today. House of glory, house of power, the house of the crown. The house of the crown is the house of wisdom. Can't have wisdom without the crown. Wisdom built Solomon's crown. Wisdom is building this crown. There is no way to build the heavenly crown without wisdom. Where our focus is going to be, as you know, we're right hand, predominant right hand of God. I mean, that's where we've been. But now all this focus is coming down now to build this habitation into the earth for the release, the manifestation, the breakthrough, the demonstration for the invisible things to become visible. The Bible says the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things that you see were not made or created by the things that you see. Everything you see in creation, everything in the universe, everything in any generation that was built by faith wasn't built by what you could see. Therefore, the kingdom cometh not by ocular evidence. The kingdom comes from within. You cannot build something from what is when God is telling you to build what is not. You have to build it from an invisible realm. You'll have to be able to learn to see it in the invisible realm, keep it in the invisible realm, bring it in from the invisible realm. The only way to do that, to keep that burning in your heart, is to keep that word. It has to be kept in your mouth. It has to be kept in your heart. It has to be bound to the frontlets of your eyes, and you can never let it go. And when you become skilled at keeping these things, you will see what God's doing in the earth. Say, see. You'll see the invisible before it happens. You'll be in touch with the kingdom of God. By the time the kingdom comes in, we're all thinking, man, it took you long enough. And the world goes, wow, where'd all this come from? But you know where it comes from. It doesn't surprise you because you bring it from the invisible realm. That's what faith does. Faith lays hold of the invisible, makes it visible. Faith is the catalyst of the invisible becoming visible. And when you become skillful at this, to see the invisible and bring it in the visible, then we're going to start watching the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So today, we're going to be talking about this realm here now, how to bring it from there to here. I'm telling you, it's getting close. So I was listening to, I think it's Johnny Inlow. Man, he is all over the crown. He doesn't know it's the crown, but he is all over it. Any of you people thinking the rapture's coming, he goes, you're missing it by mile. He goes, the greatest demonstration of the kingdom of God ever is upon us right now. And before the Lord's return, he goes, that is a generation out. I don't know if it's a generation out. He goes, but the tribulation is at least a generation out. I don't know if that's true, but I know there's this massive move of God and he is all over that. But he said something I really liked. He talked about that big evergreen ship. You know, the one that got stuck in the Suez Canal and the $15 billion a day sitting out there, couldn't get through the channel. And he said, you know, so many prophets have called him and said, it's very prophetic right now that that thing was stuck, but then it got unstuck. Things are releasing. And the Lord spoke to me, said, go back to the day. And he says, Google the day that that ship got unstuck. And that was Monday 2 weeks ago. And he goes, and what happened to you Monday 2 weeks ago? That's when wisdom showed up, sent right out of the right hand of God. That's when she started 2 weeks ago, Monday, and just started moving us. I promise you before God, I probably moved in 2 weeks more than I've moved in a year and a half. She can move you. She's so skilled. Solomon called her a she. She's so skilled at taking the living word of God and orchestrating a divine exchange with you and moving you from where you are to where you need to be. Just like that. Stuff you struggle with, boom, you're not struggling with it anymore. Just shifts you. That's what she does. She's there to help prepare the house. Today I'm going to help you develop kind of an atmosphere, a welcoming atmosphere for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. So to do that, I want to back up just a little bit and go back to Joshua 6. The Lord brought me back in here yesterday. And so Joshua 6 is Jericho, the Battle of Jericho. Battle of Jericho is a very powerful, powerful illustration of how the last day plumb line works. It's the first major stronghold of the promised land that was taken down, as you know. It was the stronghold of the promised land. And when Jericho fell and the double walls of Jericho fell, the whole thing collapsed. Fear struck in the enemy, and the terror of the children of Israel started marching through the land. Once Jericho fell, nobody could stand against the army of the Lord, and they knew it. It was a prized possession, really. And so, except for Mount Hebron, of course. When they're in this battle, God tells Joshua something very specific to where we are and what we do. And there's so much imagery here, if you've been following, to understand what all is here. When you get every one of these components in your Jericho, you're going to see the walls collapse. You're going to see the manifestation of God in the earth. And so he said, Jericho, verse 1, was straightly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out, none came in. They had surrounded. And the Lord, he had already come out to Joshua. He'd already met him as Lord of the angelic armies. He come out and he ordained him to get ready for the battle. And he ordained him. And I believe at that ordination, the Lord sent his angels in front to get prepared for this battle. And the Lord said something to him, which is the model for the last day church. Without a doubt, the model. Verse 2 says, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given. Before they went in, before any instruction, he said, see that I have given you this city. Not going to give you, have given. In other words, he's saying, see from a position that it's already finished. See from that position. Set your faith in that position. Position yourself in the finish line. When you learn to do that, you'll begin to understand how God's going to get this job done. The Lord operated in the same exact operation. He said it like this. He goes, I can only do what I see my Father doing. Say, I can only do what I see. You have to see before you do. Amen. Not do to see. You see to do. See do. You have to see before you do. What we like to do is do to see. If you put the do in front of the see, you're going to have a lot of do, do. Just run with it. You got it? You're going to get a double portion of do. So, see, I have given. And then he tells him what to do. He said, you shall compass the city. He goes, first thing you do is send the men of war. The men of war for us is the angels. They're the men of war. They're going to go out in front and they go behind. They're all around. He goes, we're going to send the men of war out first. And what you're going to do is circle the city. Now understand that God gave them the promised land, but the promised land was under occupation of strong men and inhabitants. So just like our promised land is under occupation of the enemy right now, our country's under a false occupation right now. But it doesn't matter to God. God can unseat anything, but we have to do it his way. Amen. And so the first thing he says, encompass the city. Now the city for you can be your house, can be your business, or it can be the city, because he tells him in Psalms, prepare me a habitation. Prepare me a city. Psalms 107 says, prepare me a city for habitation. Prepare me a place or a house of habitation. You're a house. Because you're the temple of the living God, you have authority to become a place of habitation in the earth. Until you become a habitation, you're not going to see a lot of kingdom movement. So your house of habitation, you can have a natural house of habitation. It all depending really on where you set the boundary, where your faith can set a boundary. Because what you got to do, you got to walk around that thing, but it's not just walking around it. It's surrounding it. So you understand what they're surrounding it with. They're surrounding it with angels. Well, armed forces, but our angels. Because Zechariah 2 says, I'm going to be, Chuck brought this out, powerful. He says, there's going to be a wall of fire around about you. And I'll be the glory in your midst. Because they're ministering flames of fire sent to minister on the behalf of the heirs of salvation. He said that they're chariots of fire and the horsemen thereof. You just got to know they're there. Well, I want to be like Elijah and see them. Well, just see it by faith. Faith can see. Amen. So the next thing that happens is he sends these armed forces. And then he sends seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns. Okay, so what does that mean right there? And then what was behind that after that? Now, not the Joshua that's here in this battle, but the high priest Joshua, which was a priest in Zechariah 3, said, upon Joshua's stone would be seven eyes. What does that mean? Upon his rock, he would be given the operation of the seven eyes of the Lord. The priests were the eyes of the Lord. They were the ones that were the administration of God. So it's like seven eyes were walking around that city. And they were blowing seven trumpets of ram's horns. What does that sound like to you that know that have been here before? Sounds like Revelation chapter 5, upon the Lamb rested seven eyes and seven horns. The seven horns, they were blowing the trumpet, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was like the crown was present, encompassing that city. That's how the crown's going to work. The crown just doesn't arbitrarily drop out there. It works with you. It works with the instruction that wisdom gives you. It works by the instruction in what you see the Father doing. You have to see what he's doing. That's why you got to get out of this jurisdiction, because the enemy wants you to see what he's doing. And if you're looking about here too much, you're going to get too focused on what he's doing. It's going to come out of your mouth. But if you're able to escape, get out from this, come out. He tells them, that Babylonian harlot, says, come out from her, my people. Come out from her system. I've got a whole nother system for you. She's married to the king of Babylon. You're married to me. It's a war of two crowns and two brides. Who's going to win? We are. Amen? But we got to go to battle, praise God. We got to do God's way. So we got to come out and we got to get in the presence of the Father. And we get the presence of the Father, we get the presence of the Lord God, start speaking. God himself will start downloading his creative thoughts to you. He'll download who you are. Where did the Lord receive your calling? He ascended on high, led captivity captive, and he received gifts for men. Some apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, governments, helps, diversity of tongues. You're in there. You're in there. He holds your office. He holds the key. He holds your future. Because he is not bound to now. When you come in the presence of God, God sometimes goes fishing. If you understand this side of the church is those things to come, that side of the church is where we are. God's over here. He goes fishing sometimes. God's a really good fisherman. So the Father, he'll take something out of himself and he'll bait a hook. He throws it over there. Right? And all of a sudden you can counter him. And he'll give you a dream, a vision, a revelation, prophecy, encounter. How many of you had that? When God just encounters you. When he encounters you, he doesn't encounter you in the now. He encounters you where he is. And he floods your spirit with who you are. And he elevates you and he shows you the future. When you're not ready for it, he still shows it to you. And the design is say, hey, this is who you are. Don't put it on a shelf. Come to me. Bring my words to me. Bring them. come to where I am and let us dream, because I just throw in a taste. I want to open the round to you. I got a book for you. The more you're in that, the more you open. See, that's the see I'm given phase. You got to see what he's given you. You got to see what he's given, who you are. The world's not going to tell you who you are. The church half the time can't tell you who you are. God can tell you who you are. He can show you. Because he is he that was, he that is, and he that is to come. So he just invites you into the realm that is to come. That's the realm you see from. That's the realm you see what he's doing. We see so much right now. It's unreal what we see. We know what's about to happen. We know there's going to be an overturn in the political realm. There's going to be an overturn in the financial realm. There's going to be a great shaking of the nations. You're living in the generation where the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. You won't be here to see all that, but you're living in the generation of it. But we are here to see the greatest move of God ever. The reigning of the kings and priests. The run of the white horse. The eyes of the Lord that will go to and fro the whole earth. We're living there in that day now. Amen. Now we're getting to the point of manifestation. As we see what he's doing, we can procure and we can work with him to release. Now, so know what he does. He circles the promise. He circles your territory. Do you know you can put a circle right down on your business? You can put it down on your market. You can put it down on your church. You can put it down on your family. When too much strife gets up in your house, you can draw a circle. Good way to do this, just go on Google, type in your address, and it'll just show your house. Probably you standing in the front door these days. And take a picture of it. Draw a circle. That's your domain. You have an inherited right to administrate authority and government in that domain. You don't even need a word from the Lord from that. That is your inherited right. You're the priest and priestesses of your house, prophets and the prophetesses of your house. You want to be a mighty apostle, be an apostle and an epistle of your house. When you draw the circle, where are you standing? You draw that circle, where are you standing first? Above. We're a different generation. The early church was the foundation builders. We're the crown generation. We come from top down now. Not elevated pride. We come from a position in Christ from top down. Even to operate like that, you have to get the pride out. That's why you go in to where he is and go up. Right? And then come back. He designed it that way. He says, you come. John 14, 15, 16, 17 was just written for us. I just totally believe it. I said, Lord, I just think you wrote those whole chapters for us. I mean, you just put Father's house on those chapters. I'm just taking possession of them, but I think he wrote it. He says, listen, I want you to be with me where I am. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Where I am, there shall you be also. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you jurisdictional transfer. He's going to teach you Urkamea. He's going to teach you how to come to where I'm at. He's going to reveal to me, and I'm going to bring you to where I'm at beyond the veil. And then I'm going to bring you and introduce you to the Father and bring you to a full-blown reconciliation of the Father. My Father's going to love you, take the orphan out of you, make you whole, take the fear out of you, orphan out of you, take the fear, orphan, all of it washed. My Father will love you the way you need to be loved. Where he is, and then you pray, and then you'll transact, and then my Father will give it to you, and then my Father and I will come back with you, and we'll make our abode with you. That's some pretty good promises right there. So as we come back, just like Jericho, see that I have given the plumb line. What to do? It drops from top down. See. Draw that circle. What are you doing? You're standing in a state of dominion. See, I have given you dominion, and here's the position. Because he restored the dominion. The Lord did it for man. What did he say? He was made lower than the angels. Then he was crowned with glory and honor, made have dominion over the works of his hands, and what? set all things under his feet. The earth is his footstool. And then you died with him, were raised together with him, seated with him, made to have dominion over the works of his hands, and you're sat down with him. So the position is the earth is under your feet. That's why you go from top down. See that? Until we learn that position, we're still kind of in a model that the Lord's trying to graduate us from. But as he graduates us and we see what he's doing, now we can administrate. Because what happened with Joshua? Just follow the model. The Lord comes out and meet him as the Lord of hosts, Lord of angelic armies. There's a whole army that accompanies the crown. They're ministering flames of fire. So you have the right, the God inherited right to release the angelic host on the behalf. Don't just arbitrarily wake up and say, Father, send your angels. You're not designing anything. You got to get into the blueprint of what God's doing. Get positioned. Draw that circle and say, that's my domain. And there is some illegal occupants up in my domain. That's my place with the Lord. And who you are coming out is not who you are returning. Sometimes you can be weary, beat up, broken, bruised, betrayed. You can go through the veil. And in the veil, he'll fix you up. The Lord will fix you up. He'll heal it. He'll pull the swords out. He might deliver a few things from you. Most likely. I remember when he told me, I was in the right hand of God, and he said, turn around. So in the spirit, I just kind of went like this, and I turned my back to him. He said, I am the glory of your rear guard, and you are carrying so much on your back right now. And I remember he stretched down with his hand, and he just pulled his veil completely off my back. In the spirit, I don't know what all was on that veil, but I'm telling you, it felt like 1,000-pound weight was lifted off of me. He said, the breastplate of righteousness is front and back. It's going to keep that, but you've been carrying too many things. So he'll do things like that for you in the spirit when you're up in there with him. That's why you got to get out of the war zone to be effective. You're not going to be a general sitting in the middle of a battle if you're beat up all the time. You got to come out. You got to let him work on you a little bit, elevate you a little bit, put some armor on you, teach you a few things, and let him fill you with his creative thoughts. Now come back. But once you're in that mode of coming back is where he's moving the crown right now. You draw the circle. The crown is the circle, by the way. Now, Father, release the ministering flames of fire. Let them be a wall of fire around about my house, around about my business. The enemy's not your problem. Time's your problem. We're going to take dominion over time, by the way. Just say amen. Because if you have dominion over time, you own the world. You own it all. So you draw that circle, right? And you release the ministering flames. You see the ministering flames of fire. Then you release the crown. You set the crown of omnipresent omniscient down. Then you come and stand down. You knew in your house, I can get you close your eyes right now. We do it Tuesdays all the time. You go stand down in your house, start administrating. Now the crown's around you. Now what I do here, all these teachings are for a purpose. What I do now, oh man, I'm Jacob now. What do you mean by that? I am an inheritor heir of Jacob, which is an heir of Abraham, which is Christ inherited, and I'm his heir. And if you be Abraham's seed, then you're an heir according to the promise, and I have Jacob's inheritance to see the angels ascend and descend where I'm at. They have the right to descend, and if they're going to ascend and descend, then I have a full-blown open heaven. So that circle now becomes a cylinder that goes up into the heavens. And so, Father, I thank you. You're now a ministering flame of fire. I see the chariot and the horsemen, the flames of fire going all the way. I am an inheritor, heir of Jacob's ladder. And this day I see the angels of heaven ascending and descending where I am. And I command all second heaven interference to depart. Depart. Be loosed. I walk in an open heaven. Jesus had the same thing. He told Nathaniel, you'll see the angels of God ascend and descend upon me. He was operating in Jacob's inheritance. If he had it, it's yours. If you be Christ, you have to operate in these things. Either yours, we don't use them. They just sit around with their arms like this and say, well, one day they'll get it. They get employed by your faith. and by your wisdom. Your wisdom has a lot to do with it too. If you know what you're doing and your position, Faith, wisdom, and position will get angels working on your behalf. They'll start smoothing out things around you. Amen? Now, what's left? You have the angels, you got the crown, you've got the perimeter, you're standing down, you're ministrating. Now, what are you doing? What are we doing exactly? Preparing. So we've got the crown. All this done by faith. Now, what's left? You got the angels, the crown. What followed the crown? The ark. We need the ark. The ark follows the crown. And the angels, you've prepared a habitation. Prepare me. Say, prepare me a habitation. See, there's a habitation he prepares for you in the right hand of God. Then you prepare him one. You prepare it. It's not just like, Father, come and dwell with us. My God, if he answered that prayer, we would all be in revival. There's a little bit more to some of these things, and we have to become a little bit more advanced than what we're doing. And to advance, we're going to have to retrain. And to retrain, sometimes you have to, you know, it's like the cow at the gate. Hey, I don't know about this. You know, I've done this gate all my life like this, you know. We have to be willing to adapt, change. Amen. Move forward. Do something you haven't done. But watch this. As you stand down in that realm, now you can administrate. What are you doing? You're administrating authority and dominion in the earth, but you're also administrating what you've seen with the Father. See, what you're seeing with the Father, you now frame in the earth. But what we have to do is get the ark in. That's the final phase. The arrival of the ark. The arrival. The Lord said like this, my Father and I will come make our abode, our habitation with you. We're coming down. When God comes down, he don't come down in very many generations. I'll tell you that right now. Holy Spirit moves in every generation. Father doesn't come off his throne very often. Your faith's going to have to bring him off the throne. You're going to have to grab those words and those promises and lay hold of him and not let go until the Lord is bound to his word. He comes off the throne, brings that habitation of glory into the earth. When the Father shows up, it's over. It's done. It don't matter if not a thing has happened. It's all finished. From the time he shows up, it's finished. Nothing has to be done, but he already brought it all with him, the own self. That's the ark. When the ark was with them and they were in a state of obedience, nation could stand against them. Nobody. The walls of Jericho would fall, collapse in the presence of the power of God. That's what our generation, Moses had it, Solomon had it, Christ had it in the Mount Transfiguration. Father touched down. The Lord didn't go up that time. Father touched down on the earth. Habitation of the Most High God. That's what's going to change this nation. If we can draw a circle over a home, we can draw a circle over a city. Why not prepare a nation for my habitation? Right? So when we stand now, as we're here, say, I don't have time for this. We can do most of this, believe it or not, in an advanced state in an hour and a half. In not so advanced state, we can do it in an hour, the whole thing, up and down, 1 hour. It feels like you're there. Sometime in the glory, you feel like you're. These days, we're up in the Father within 20 minutes. It used to take an hour to get up there. It's like, wow, how did we get there so fast? And we're already ministering, but now he's got us back here. If you can't, he goes, can you not pray 1 hour? He can get so much done if you can become skillful. He is challenging you. I'm challenging. He's challenging you. He didn't bring you here if he didn't want you to know this. He didn't teach us this if he didn't want us to do it. When the habitation comes, it's everything. As we're standing in the midst, and you know the angels are with you, and you know the crown is present, and you know you have a right for the manifest presence of God, then what do you do at that point? What do you do? How do I get the ark down? Big question. That's the only thing we have left. How do we get the ark down? Prepare him a habitation. So I'm going to show you. what he's showing me to do. You can do this with wisdom. You can do it with his manifest presence. I'm doing it with a crown right now. It's going to happen. All right? So what do we do at this point? Are you with me? We spent a whole year on this, what we call the plumb line phase. As we're back in here now, and we're standing down, this is my territory. But nothing's changed here. I got news for you. It's not going to change till the ark shows up. When the ark shows up, everything's going to change. When the glory, the manifest glory of God shows up, everything changes. The creative realm initiates and begins to flow. So what did the Lord say? You can just go back to the model of John 14, 15, 16, 17. He says, if you keep my words, if you love me, that's what he said. If you love me, you'll keep these words, not do them. Don't get some commandments and do them. That's not what we're talking about. You'll keep these words I'm talking about. You'll keep this model, this operation that I'm going to give you in the upper room. You'll keep this. And if you keep it, my Father will love you. Well, does that mean he doesn't love me if I don't keep it? Because there's probably a lot of us that don't do that right now. Does that mean God doesn't love you right now? He just don't love you. I'm sorry. No, he's not talking about that. He loves you unconditionally. You remember the story of the farmer? Y'all have heard me talk about it. So he loves you, right? Unconditionally. He loves you if you pray or don't pray. He can't not love you because he is love. He can't even vary from his own nature. So what does he mean? If you keep these words, my Father will love you. Because if I don't keep them, does he love me? Of course he loves you. Because he's not talking about his love for you. He's talking about if you keep these words, I'm going to bring you into a position of divine union with him. And you are going to be loved like you have never been loved before. It doesn't matter whether he loves you where you are or not. I'm going to bring you into his love. I'm going to have you encounter his love. I'm going to have you experience his love. And he's going to take the orphan and dysfunction out of you. He's going to put himself in you. I know a little bit about that. I got caught up with it for a whole year. It's awesome time. There were some residual things he didn't get, but he's getting them now. Praise God. But he can restructure you in that place. He'll love you like you've never been loved. I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, I'm telling them, listen, God can love you. I mean, it's different. I've been had encounters of God's love here. I've been caught up in worship and love here. There ain't nothing like him loving you where he's at. When the Lord brings you up and restores that union and puts you right in the face of your Father. And that love just, it gets up in you. The devil knows that too. He wants to keep you far, far away from these kind of words. They'll fight him because he knows he'll lose ground. You get up in there, the Father will remove the enemies. His places, he'll remove them. So the Father, he goes, my Father will love you. So if you keep my words, I'm going to bring you in the presence of my Father. And my Father will love you with the same love he loves me with. The same love I come out of the presence with the Father, you'll come out of. But then you're gonna communicate, you're gonna transact, you're gonna pray to him the way you really should pray, because he's gonna teach you how to do that. But then watch this. Say then my Father and I will make our abode. That is a promise. New Testament, full gospel promise of the abode of Father and Son in the earth with the Holy Spirit. Not just the Holy Spirit, but Father coming off his throne, inhabiting us in the earth. Jesus himself said it. And he gave the qualification for it. We've been trying to do it every other way, but the way he said, do it. He said, if you will keep my words and master the art. We have a whole series on that. Teach you how to do that. You're going to have to lock on. You're going to have to be with it for a while. You're going to have to love it for a while. You're going to go through the fire with it. You're going to go through the waters with it. You're going to go through some. You're going to keep that. But what you don't know is you keep that word, it binds the Lord to do it. You can keep it and have everything wrong with you. You may be doing only one thing right and 50 things wrong. Instead of being Mary Poppins and doing everything right, and never administrating faith, if you will keep that administrate faith, God himself will bind himself to you. And he will do things for you on the behalf of that word you're keeping, even though he can't manifest it for you yet because you're in the way. He'll start orchestrating transformation on your behalf just because you're keeping a word that's in front of yourself. He's bound to help you. He's bound to get you where you need to be. He'll search your heart. He'll find out what the problem is, which is Y-O-U with a big I. And he'll send help. And he'll bring the corrections and the change and the transformations. He'll get you ready. Last thing he did, we're down here waiting on him, and he sends us wisdom. Wow. She's been amazing. She's preparing the habitation. God will bind himself to you if you keep the word. That's what he said. I just follow what he said. I didn't really do it just because I did it. Because I tried everything else. How many of you ever done that? Tried everything. Been out every rodeo out there. I used to follow the rodeos. I'd get on a plane and follow them around. But just couldn't land me where I needed to be. Because you're carrying something. Boy, that will land you. That will get God on your side when the whole world's against you. Keep his word. Don't let it go. That's how we got up. That's how we've come down. And that's how we're standing right now. So what do? We keep the word. What does that mean? We keep it. Solomon had the wisdom. Moses had the wisdom. Jesus had the wisdom. Paul had the wisdom. He says, bind it on the frontlets of your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Don't let it part from your mouth. Hold it. Write it. Make it everything. And make everything else secondary to it. So this time, what are we doing? You stand in the middle of your circle. Now I am to prepare you a habitation. Lord, I keep the word of your presence that you said. Go back to you said. You said you would make your abode with me in the earth. You said the Father would come with you. I am a temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell with you. I will walk with you and dwell among you. As you were with Moses' tabernacle, I am the tabernacle of Moses. As you were with Solomon's temple, I am the temple of the living God. As you were with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, so are you now with me. I have the inherited right for the habitation, Father, that you will come and walk with us and in us and make your abode with us in the earth. Father, I thank you as we stand here, thy will be done now on the earth that is done in heaven. As I have been with you where you are, you promise now to be with me where I am. Lord, as I am in you and we're in the Father's in you and the both of you are in me. And this day I call for the manifestation of the Father coming down from his throne to dwell among men. For thank you, Father, for the glory of God that dwells among men. You make your habitation. I can only do what I see you doing with you with me. Emmanuel, God with me. And Father, I thank you. You send wisdom in front. And the Spirit of the Lord now that rests upon me. The Spirit of glory. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have granted the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon us. And the eye of my heart is now flooded with the light of what you doeth. We thank you that wisdom has come down in the same way she was with Solomon. She is with us in this generation and even greater than Solomon. For the seven eyes of the Lord are with us to go to and fro the whole earth. Thank you, Father, that you're with us. Your manifest glory is with me. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is an at-hand position. And as you do that, you start doing that, what are you doing? You're starting to develop faith that opens the veil. The reason why is because faith opens a pathway that's blocked. And as you keep doing that, if there is a blockage, see, what people don't realize, if they keep God's word, doesn't matter if you're going through the door or coming back here, if you keep that word long enough and just do that and see that, you can see him in your temple, you can see him like in Solomon's temple, you can see him like in the crown, I see him filling the perimeter of the crown, I see the walls of Jericho flattening, I see mammon flattening, I see time collapsing, I see all this stuff, you're seeing all this stuff, but if you do that, you're taking an invisible realm and bringing it into the visible. If you do that long enough, it doesn't matter what's going on or what's in the way. God is bound to your words now. The Lord himself is bound to you because you're keeping his word. Because you're keeping his word, he binds himself to you. And so he just sends the Holy Spirit or wisdom to you and says, fix what's wrong. And wisdom comes in. I'm like, circumcision patched up and healed all in one day. I'm like, where'd that come from? Father sent me. Says to get you ready. Why did he do that? What releases him to do that? Because you're keeping the word. The Lord's bound. You have to, he has to do something. You can't keep doing that and him not come and fulfill his word. Even though you don't know how to get him here. If you don't know what's in the way. Even if you don't know how to get that final leg. We didn't know anything in the beginning. Man, I was calling people the day we used to go through the door. I got through the door today. I'm standing in the temple today. Oh, hallelujah. That was the biggest thing. Now you can just step right over like that. Took us an hour and a half to do that in the beginning. You can move in these realms. But now this last realm, Lord, I'm like Solomon, Father. I don't know how to come in or go out. I don't know how to get you here. But I see the ark. And you said the model was the ark and the crown would run together. David had the crown and the ark. You said in the last days when the white horse would run. That you would raise up the house of Judah. And you would restore Ephraim. It would be those you never forsook him. And Ephraim had the ark. And you forsook Ephraim. But you're restoring the ark now. And the ark and the crown will move together. I have the crown in my heart. So therefore the ark has to be. You see how that works? You're keeping his word. You do that. It doesn't matter if you're perfect in it. Well, I don't feel anything when I do that. Sometimes you don't. Like yesterday, Ann and I were slinging the sword. I mean, we just slinging it through. We just get good at it. It wasn't the greatest of days. Day before that, blew his saddle out. This morning, blew us out of saddle. Sometimes he'll blow you out of saddle. Sometimes you're just swinging the sword. It's like going to work. Someday you'll have a good day. Someday, but you just do it because he said to do it. Because I know if I do this, he's going to bind himself to what I'm doing. I'm going to make he's coming off that throne. If he's got to fix stuff in me, he can do it. He sends wisdom, but she can fix you up real fast. She'll show you all kinds of stuff about yourself. She goes, I come to fix you. I said, why am I always the one being fixed and having to stand up here and tell about all my fixings? I had a few more issues than most people, I'll tell you that. I probably had more issues and more critters than most people out there, but God has fixed it up, praise God. It don't matter how many critters you got, it don't matter how much fixing, you just keep his word, he'll do the rest. Stop trying to fix your life. I can't make his habitation come with anything in the natural. I can't beg him enough. But I can keep his word, and he has to bind himself to me. And he's going to search my heart, and he's going to find out what the problem is. I told Anna when she started praying with me, I said, listen, start praying in this realm. I said, you get up there, God will start changing you. He'll initiate a change up in the glory, and sometimes it's a transformation. He does it. It's amazing what happens up there, but now we're here. I want what's up there here. Because the world needs it. Our country needs the crown. The world needs the crown. The crown's going to fix everything. Trust me, it's going to fix the whole thing. The crown's a lot bigger than any of us, a lot bigger than this house. The world can't contain it. We're stewards of it. Let me close with this. So as you stay, now, if this is not where you're at, I get that. But wherever you are, whatever you're contending for, moving up in the Father, You got to keep his word. If you learn to do that, I remember I was sitting in the prayer closet. The Lord come in there. Whew, he walked up in there. I knew he was there. I couldn't see him. He never let me see him yet. He said, you're going to see me soon. He told me things are about to happen. He says, not just you, a lot of you are going to see him, really see it. Look, I mean, he's going to appear. The apostolic witness has to be reinstated. Apostolic eyewitness. The whole church was born out of it. It's going to birth. But anyway, he come up in there. I could feel his presence. I hit the dust. I was like sitting there and I'm like, whoa. He speaks from the voice of his and he goes, I want to introduce you to the heavenly lawyer. And I felt a presence come up from behind me and it came over me. And when it came over me, suddenly I understood spiritual constitution. Remember back in the days we were on 290? We didn't start with this. This was like this summation. He said, if you're going to go before the Supreme Court of Heaven and what you're called to do, you're going to have to go in front of the Supreme Court of Heaven. He goes, you're not going to go up there and ask for what you're asking for just flippantly. It's not going to work. He says, you're going to have to bring precedents. Old Testament, New Testament, modern day. He says, so start bringing the precedents. So we started just laying out precedents of the ground. The historical went all the way back to Abraham and revival too. Every sign, miracle, wonders in this book. Wrote a whole book with it. We didn't write. I don't even write books. I wasn't, I love your books. I said, I don't write. I just put scriptures in a book and hand it to you. But it works. Praise God. Somebody was reading this constitution. Like, well, this is not really a book. I was like, no, it's not. But there's nothing like it on the earth. If you know what it is, it's the historical precedents of the crown. Starting back with Abraham. It's all here. We bring it up to the Father. This is what you've said. As we were holding this years, 2 or 3 years, holding this in the presence of the Father, I just rehearsed what was in this book. Then he started opening the future of the crown. He couldn't even see the things that we see now. I started open Revelation. 3, 4, 5. Started open Zechariah. 4, 5, 6. 10, Haggai 2, he starts opening the latter day move of God. And I'm like, God, this is a little scary. Nobody's preaching this. I said, I don't hear this out there. I said, but it's your word. I mean, the way he would bring those words, he would line up on lines. So you knew it was all the word of God. He laid that framework down. He said, this is the last day house that I'm going to open. I'm going to open the house of David. Out of the Church of Philadelphia, the house of David's going to come out. And as we capped this, we kept going higher and higher. And then he started opening these designs up in the, he gave us that map of the right hand of God. And then he started showing us how the plumb line works. And now we're in this habitation phase where the Father is going to come and crown the crown in the earth. You and I are going to live in a habitation of the Father, the remainder of our days on the earth. That's going to be something. Because when you're in the Father like this, let me just give you a little bit of vision. Signs, miracles, and wonders roll out like water. You're a business person. And all of a sudden you're standing and you're just coming to church and you get caught up. And that day you're not caught up in the him that is. You get caught up in him that was. Suddenly you're in a future position in the Father. And he drops you down in your business. But you're in a future position and he downloads the omnipresent omniscience of that position to you. And you're going, oh my God, I know what's going to happen for the next 3 months. I know exactly what's going to happen. And he takes you back where you are. You already know the end from the beginning because you just transcended time. And because you just transcended time, you've already won that battle before you even do anything. You see that? That's how the glory and the manifest glory of the Father is going to work. Then he's going to take some of us that don't know anything. And we're going to get caught up in innovation. We're going to get caught up in designs. Like, I don't even know what he showed me. You know how many times God has taken people up and given them full designs? Some people have taught them how to play an instrument. Like Kevin said, I just taught him how to play instruments. He never knew how to play because that's what the Father does in that realm. And that's what he's about to give all of us. The habitation of the Father's glory. He's going to make it relevant. And beautiful. And as we keep this word in this final stretch, oh, have we paid a price for that? If we, as we keep it, he's going to bind himself to do it. You have to understand he's bound by an oath of his own word. And if we keep it exactly the way he said to do it, he'll fix anything, change anything, and make all the adjustments. I've seen him do it 100 times, and so have you. Let's say 1,000 times. He'll make the adjustments to get ready for the arrival. He'll keep supplying you the kind of strength and faith you need to stand there. That's the house God put you in. And that is what's about to happen. He's going to roll this thing out into humanity. Well, when is he going to do that? I never got the win right. The only win I'm going to get right is the W-I-N. I'm going to win. I don't care how long it takes at this point because I'm all in. I've already seen him do it. I've already seen how far he's taken us. There's faith like crazy right now. It's just flowing like a river right now. It's going to radically transform us. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.